I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to date myself a little and go back to my teen years when I took driving lessons. Driving test, you know, that booklet you used to get that you had to read and memorize with all the rules of the road. Particularly the one that I love the most is about yielding to traffic on circles and roundabouts or at any other time you see a yield sign. Yield sign, in case any of you didn't read that book with me, a yield sign on roadway entrance means that the other person goes first. You go when the road is clear. I say all this because it appears that very few people observe these laws, particularly that law, choosing instead to see themselves as mere, I don't know, inconveniences. These are optional courtesies to yield to others, and that you're allowed to make up your own mind as to who has the right of way. Just this past weekend, when Mike and I were riding along on a highway, as he's smiling, as I'm sitting in the passenger seat, being the back seat driver, as I usually am, I'll say, "Watch, that guy has a yield sign, so watch out." Because, as you know, a yield sign means hit the gas and go like a bat out of you know where and cut the other guy off. So, I'm sorry, Mike, for all the times I've said that all these decades. But in New Jersey, it appears that we've forgotten what it means to yield. We are so stressed out, in a hurry, unable to pause even when it means our own safety. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, speaks to the early Christian church in Rome and urges them to present themselves, their bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is their spiritual worship. Those words apply to our lives today. But if we have so much trouble just yielding in common courtesy to each other, how in the world could we ever find a way to give ourselves over completely to God, to yield to the Holy Spirit? We are surrounded by stress in the world, in our nation, in our personal lives. Political divisions in the United States, unrest in our towns and cities like Charlottesville, Virginia, protests, marches, civil unrest, the fighting in Israel, Iraq, and Afghanistan, terrorist groups like ISIS and their barbaric disregard for human life, and then add to that North Korea, Russia, and nuclear threats. Closer to home, we face the challenges of increasing cost of living and health care costs, increasing unemployment, murder, violence, and drug abuse and death in our own backyards, and more people needing assistance with housing and food. We can easily be swept away by fear, anger, and despair when we buy into the specter of personal scarcity, when we need to hold on to what we have, to take what we can when we can. Yielding anything to anyone is the last thing on our minds. And that is where the challenge to give up, to sacrifice, needs to start, in our minds. For most of us, the battle starts in our heads. Where the mind goes, so goes our actions. So what Paul is talking about is not just about physical sacrifice, but mental sacrifice as well. Putting the welfare, the well-being of another before our own. The body and our actions are often led by our mind and our thoughts. We have choices, and we are confronted with hundreds of choices each and every day. From what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, what to spend our money on, whether or not we will tell the truth or tell a lie, whether we will build up or put down another person, whether we will put our own needs first and ignore the needs of others. What you do with your mind will determine a great deal of what you will become as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ. It is an attitude of self-sacrifice that leads to our first responders and all of those healthcare workers who enter regions that are plagued by epidemics and natural disasters like we have occurring this week with Hurricane Harvey. They all try to go and comfort and or heal the victims and help them to rebuild their lives. It's an attitude of self-sacrifice that leads reporters in the prime of their lives into dangerous situations in order to expose the atrocities of war to the outside world. And yes, sometimes they end up sacrificing and losing their lives as well. It's an attitude of self-sacrifice that leads parents to do without for the benefit of their children, or perhaps the benefit of their aging parents. It's an attitude of self-sacrifice that leads individuals and congregations to open their homes to those without a home, without a home, without love, without safety. St. Paul says, "To everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned you." We often think of ourselves more highly than we should. We forget that, as the psalmist says this morning, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What we focus on, what thoughts we allow to control our minds, is very important. So how are we to think right thoughts? How do we go about transforming and renewing our minds? While the transformation of the Christian's renewed mind is to be toward that which is good, acceptable, and perfect, toward an image of pure holiness that God offers believers. And the first step in this transformation, Paul notes, is a call to humility, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Amid all the variety and independence of the early Christian communities, Paul calls all members to recognize the basic equality they share as members of one body, the body of Christ. Ted Wally, who is a small group minister out in Colorado, reminds us that as Americans, freedom and independence are rights of our citizenship and are instilled in us from birth. Over the last 30 years, our culture has become more self-centered. The ideas that my business is not your business, and you're not going to tell me what to do, pervade our American culture and, to a large degree, our church culture. Starting with baby boomers, the myth that you can do your own thing as long as it doesn't hurt anyone has been widely accepted. Yet St. Paul makes it clear that though we are all different parts, we are one body, one part of the body, and cannot isolate itself from the rest and survive. All of us together make up the body of Christ. We are truly dependent upon one another, and there is no such thing as total independence if you are a Christian. What you do to others affects you. What others do to you affects them. When we understand that in the depths of our souls, then we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are willing to yield to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then, only then, we are able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. St. Paul reminds us that God won't settle for us yielding a mere part of our lives. God asks for our whole being. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. God wants you all in, not saving a part for yourself, but giving all of it to Him. Amen.